something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome to Movie Crush. Charles W. Chuck Bryant here, Pont City Market Home Studio. And this, everyone, is the second annual Oscar Spectacular! That wonderful, luscious voice that you just heard sitting across from me is Emily.
Hello, friends.
She's back, everybody.
Very glad to be back.
And I know that makes you happy because you have all made it clear on Facebook how much you want Emily back.
Yay.
That makes her feel good.
We have a busy life, but I would like to do this more.
So if you'll notice, everyone. Oh, that's right.
My favorite sound.
We just popped a bottle of wine.
Glug, 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 glug.
We're actually here in the studio, though, because when we did it at home, A, the sound isn't great, and B, they're just all the distractions of home. And I knew that if
barking
I got
dogs and
babies and dogs and
screaming children,
burglars,
lots of those.
We got to pause, everyone. There's a cat burglar.
Ah.
So here's the deal, everybody. We got a late start on the movies this year,
and
we've really worked hard to do right by everyone for the last week and a half by really watching a lot of movies.
We have watched a lot of movies.
It's been a lot of work.
Yeah. Fun work, but work not – it was great effort.
The goal was to really at least get all the best pictures under our belt, and we did save one. So just go ahead and know we have not seen Vice.
Which apparently is a dubious pick for
dubious,
best picture, right?
Yeah.
Like when you have 9 best pictures.
I think there's 8 this year, but yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think you can have up to 10.
Why?
Because they changed it a few years ago.
I know, but they throw a couple in there that are like, what? Like, yeah, that was a fun movie, but certainly not best picture. I just don't know why they made the Oscars longer.
I agree. So everyone, we're drinking from Sonoma County, California, in the Deerfield Winery. Their 2013 Malbec Cuvée. Which is a blend, that's what cuvée means,
yes,
of Malbec, Merlot, Zinfandel, Syrah, and Cab Franc.
It's mighty tasty.
It is delicious. And Shout out to our friend that it's his family.
Addison,
It's his family. Yeah, Addison. It's his family winery.
Yeah.
But he doesn't work there anymore. But shout out to Addison at Deerfield.
Yeah.
They showed us a good time when
good
we were
time.
Just out
that
there.
Was a wonderful place.
The show brought to you by Deerfield Wines.
Yes. One in particular.
Please sponsor us. All right. So how do you want to do this, babe? Should we just go through – I don't remember how we did last year. Did we start with Best Picture or did we go backwards?
Well, I think we only prepped for Best Picture, right? And then didn't we? I think we started with Best Picture and went through all of those.
And then
those ones we had watched.
And then that covers a lot of the other categories.
Yeah, and then looked through the other categories.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Well, either way, we can do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah. But we do have to figure out some sort of format.
No, I think we do that on the fly.
Lucy can say, all right.
By the way, everyone, we're in the Stuff You Should Know studio in Emily's and Josh's seat.
Hello.
Which is, I don't know. There are a lot of weird things going on right now in my body. It's strange. I thought about flip-flopping it, but that would I've never sat in that seat. That would be so strange.
Yeah.
It's just odd. And when we do live shows, like how bad – you've been to enough of them. If I was on the other side.
Yeah, that'd be super weird.
Wouldn't that be so strange if I was on the left?
Bizarro.
Or the left from your point of view. All right, everyone. So we'll start with Best Picture. And I'm just going to go. I guess they have them in alphabetical order. So we'll start with Black Panther.
All right.
That we just saw.
Loved.
Two or three nights ago, right?
Loved.
You loved it.
It was wonderful.
I had already seen it.
It was like – it was so empowering for women.
Yeah.
And for
African Americans, sure.
And it just was like – it was just a wonderful
– yeah.
Great movie.
I mean, first of all, it's just a good movie. I love all the Marvel things. You are into some of the Marvel things, but you just don't have time for all the Marvel things.
Well, you know.
But you like what you've seen.
Yeah.
You've seen some Avengers stuff.
Yeah. I love superhero movies.
Yeah. But you mean you've seen a handful of them.
Yeah.
Over the years. But you did not see Black Panther in the theater, but we got to it the other night, and it's just really good. Good acting, good story.
It's a great story. Wakanda is beautiful.
Yeah, that was one of the best parts was the costumes and the production design.
Yeah.
CGI looked good.
It was a really great story, too, you know, as far as, like, it was interesting because – obviously, it was about, you know, this place, Wakanda, but they were kind of nationalist. Like, they didn't want people in or out. They were...
There were a lot of, like, overtones
for
today's, you know,
and there was a lot of guilt. Politics. It's like, you know, look at all these people that
we
all come from the same descendants, and we've let them, you know, we've done wrong by them. And it was very, a lot of really complex issues.
Well, and then Michael B. Jordan, his whole thing was like, he's the bad guy, but he's trying to liberate... like the oppressed black man in the real world.
Exactly.
But and through violent means, which is not cool. But it was a very complex character, I think.
He was mad. He got left behind.
Yeah.
And he knew, you know,
and
like
he saw his dad get killed.
Yeah, he was a descendant of this royalty. And then he not only didn't have access to them, but was, you know, kind of left like in a rough place in Oakland and, you know, had
alone.
A rough, alone without his dad, like growing up, who his uncle had killed. So he had a lot of rage.
Yeah.
And that his skin suit, whatever that was so crazy cool.
What do you mean? His real skin?
No. Well, the prosthetics. We were talking about, I think they did prosthetics, the bumps.
Yeah, yeah.
That
which
was so
were
cool.
Supposed to be scars or whatever.
Well, there were scars from every person he killed.
Right.
Yeah, but that was really cool.
Yeah, it was like,
plus, he's so handsome.
Yeah, he's handsome and he's cut AF.
Yeah, they all were, though. They were all just like in fierce shape. They were all wonderful warriors.
Yeah, I should have pulled up the movies. Maybe I'll try and pull that up now to get the cast and all their names. I can't remember her name from The Walking Dead, but, you know, the lead badass lady.
Oh, the general? She might have been my favorite. She was so cool and badass.
Yeah, what is her name? I've been trying to get her. I can never remember because we have, you know, semi-access to some of the Walking Dead people just because they shoot here.
Yeah.
And I had Ross Marquand on. And he, Danai Gurira.
Yeah, she's such a badass.
Yeah, she's, man, she's to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
And Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh, love.
Yang?
I mean, I love her.
Nyong'o,
I think. I don't know the spelling in front of me, but it's a...
Boy, she was a badass, too.
She was so cool.
And Letitia Wright as the little sister.
Loved her.
And
loved her.
Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out.
Like, yeah.
It was really just packed.
Yeah.
Chadwick Boseman, of course.
He was amazing.
Panther.
Yeah.
And even weird Andy Serkis showing up. He was the white guy with one arm.
Oh. Wait, the one at the beginning or the one?
The only, well, yeah.
Remember there was the other.
The bad guy with that.
Yeah.
What was I doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
That was not.
Oddish.
I don't know what the fuck just came out of my mouth. It was not
some
good.
Combo accent. That's the only ones I do, so no judgment here.
Forrest Whitaker, always great to see
he's
him.
He's great. Oh, the ending was very sad. Are we allowed to do spoilers? Yeah. I mean, I guess if we're
going
to really talk
spoiled
about stuff.
It.
Well, we talked about some people and some things. But
dying or not dying.
Yeah, exactly. Spoiler alert, Forrest Whitaker dies, and we hated it. It was terrible.
Yeah. God, that was bad.
They even had his younger guy with the eye, which I didn't notice
until.
Later on,
I was like, yeah.
Yeah, because you share the affliction.
With the sleepy eye,
I wonder if they made his eye like that, or if they like literally just found a guy, because he didn't really look much like Forrest Whitaker, but they're like, you have the same, what's the eye condition called?
Ptosis.
Ptosis, yeah. You have ptosis, you're hired.
I know. I have ptosis.
That's what I said. You share the same eye affliction. I guess it's not really an affliction. It's a condition.
I don't know, but all I know is my left eye is slowly closing.
I know, but you kind of look like you're flirting, so it's fine. You and Paris Hilton, she has it too, and it's like a sexy
eye. She does.
Yeah.
If Paris and I ever bumped into each other, fireworks.
I know, right? You just never know what would happen. Watch out.
Or me and Forrest Whitaker, for that matter. All right.
I'd go for him.
I give it – I don't think I would vote for it for Best Picture, but I really enjoyed it. And to the poo-pooers, I'm like, Black Panther was good, but, you know, it's like, shut up.
I liked it.
Just
yeah, same. It's not my pick for Best Picture, but it was just a fantastic movie.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well done.
This is a weird year.
Is it the first Marvel? Is it like the first superhero movie to ever be?
For Best Pick?
Well, I mean, good Lord, didn't it like outsell box office from like every single?
It was huge. I don't know like where it ranks on the Marvel list, but
I feel like it was like the top selling Marvel
movie. I don't
think
it was the best ever. Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe it had the biggest weekend or something.
I'd like to go to Wakanda.
I think everyone wants to go to Wakanda.
Because it's amazing.
All right. Moving on. Yeah?
Yeah.
Black Klansman.
You know how I love this movie.
This – all right. We'll get to what we're going to vote on at the end.
Okay.
Let's just save that part.
Yeah.
I
love this movie. So I will say I didn't really know anything about it going in.
I'd heard some
like buzz about Denzel Washington's son, and there was some like typo on the – you know, front of a magazine cover or something about his Oscar nomination. I had even forgotten that it was Spike Lee. I was kind of put off by the title. I was like, this sounds like it's going to be hardcore and upsetting. And, you know, anytime you put Klan in a title, I'm like,
oh, sure.
I've got to really like figure out if I'm up for this. But since it was the Best Picture nomination.
Yeah.
And then you said Spike Lee and I was like, oh, duh.
And it was way lighter than you thought it was going to be.
Way lighter than I thought it was going to
be. Yeah, I mean, it's I don't want to call it a comedy, but
well,
there are a lot of funny parts.
There were some lighter parts for sure.
It was a good genre mix, I think.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, you know, I was talking about it with a few people at work and they were like, one of them is black and she was concerned about the language being upsetting. And I was like, well, it is upsetting. I'm like, but when you're watching it, they're the bad guys. These people that are using this terrible language, they're the bad guys. Like, you know, the camera's on the right side of things. It's, you know, like.
There's only one of them that's menacing, and that's the, oh, Jesus. What is this guy's name? Jasper Pa-Kun.
Was he the main
He's literally
hillbilly?
Has three letters in his name that have umlauts. I've never seen that before.
He did a good redneck, whatever.
He did a great redneck.
Yeah.
Where in the world is that guy from?
He
was menacing.
You've run into that guy
the
and you're like, I don't
idiots.
Want anything to do with that guy. Yeah,
yeah.
He was truly like, he was the brain, the brains, I use that term loosely, but he was the one with the most motivation to do evil.
Yeah, agreed.
But just.
He had the awful wife too.
Groups, oh God. It's hard enough watching white men talk like that, and then when women do it, it does something to me.
Yeah.
It's like, not that I expect it from men,
but
it's even worse from women.
Yeah,
I don't know.
As a woman, it's probably like particularly offensive.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ashley Atkinson, who played that role, because she was fucking great.
She was, because she's
And like, to
awful.
Take on a role and like, I'm going to be a really awful, deplorable
human being.
We are
literally the biggest
being.
Piece of shit human being in the world. Yeah.
Adam Driver was great. John David Washington was awesome.
I loved him.
Yeah, me too.
And you know what? Not even like I didn't get a hint of Denzel. I guess
I figured Denzel's son
would look just like him. I didn't have any moments where I was like, that looks like a mini Denzel.
He did not remind me of him the way he talked or mannerisms. Like, I don't know, maybe he favors mom.
Maybe.
But I thought he was awesome. That character I loved, and he was just
was kind of a renegade. Like
but he was also adorable.
He was
darling.
He really was.
Laura Harrier, who plays his Patrice.
Who's lovely.
They were just adorable together.
Yeah.
Like, you want them to be together.
Yeah. And they're kind of like they're on the same side of things, but coming from very different perspectives and places.
But also on
and,
the different side of things in a way.
Well, no, yeah, because he was police and they were, you know, the police
anti-cop,
were the bad guys. Yep. Yeah, for this group of, you know, especially at the time. That was interesting. There was a lot of like, well, I don't know when Black Panther took place, but a lot of this, a lot of the big movies this year were kind of like period racial issues.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I guess Black Panther was modern day.
I guess.
Yeah. I don't think it was like future.
Yeah.
I'm trying. All I can think about is Wakanda. I can't remember any of the real world stuff. No, yeah, it was regular
modern day.
Yeah, I
guess it was, modern day Oakland.
Laura Harrier was great as Patrice. Steve Buscemi's brother, Michael Buscemi, was in it, of course. He was the other white cop that was kind of friends with Adam Driver,
oh.
who you were like, who's the guy that looks just like Steve Buscemi?
Of course it was. I don't think – it was funny because I don't think that registered at the time.
It looks like Steve – he looks like just, Steve Buscemi with a snaz.
Yeah.
Like a fake nose.
He totally does. And even has like a similar voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then mannerisms and all.
Yeah.
Topher Grace was great as David
Duke. Oh, my
Duke.
God. He was great. It was funny because he was doing his Topher Grace thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it was
fully.
David Duke.
And he looks a lot like him.
And that guy is garbage.
Yeah. Human garbage.
Human garbage.
But man, there were, I mean, it was funny and light in a lot of places, but then that stuff like with Harry Belafonte when he's sitting there with his like long soliloquy
that was
in the meeting.
That, telling that story that just, and it was like cross-cutting, right? Back and forth between like the violent act that's about to happen. So it was totally building tension and you're listening to like these things that these people had to endure because it wasn't like he could help guy.
And it's Harry Belafonte.
I know.
So it's like you feel like it's just him speaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, not a
like
character.
Like this may have been actually something based on his his real, but it had a really satisfying ending.
Yeah. It was, fuck man. I mean, just a, I love a gut punch of an ending.
Yeah.
Not
well,
always. You got to be up for it.
It had a satisfying ending and then the Charlottesville stuff.
No, that's what I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, I was talking about the end. Like they prevail, you know, the bad guys die.
And
the
they
good
had
guys
very
prevail.
Light moment with, in the,
yeah. And he like,
they, which didn't really happen in real
faces
life, sadly.
David Duke on the phone, which was funny.
But then the gut punch.
Then the Charlottesville stuff. And it was funny because it, well, not funny. None of that was funny. It was horrifying. And I'm just sitting there watching this. And I had, well, I don't, you know me, I don't watch news on
right.
video. I don't need the visual.
No, you're not into it.
But I didn't realize that Charlottesville, first of all, that the march was so big, that like the line of people of white supremacists who were marching, I was so sickened. I was like, there were that many people that were here.
So you're sort of experienced a lot of that stuff for the first
time. That was
time
for the first time.
Movie.
I'd read everything. I knew what was going on, but I don't watch the videos.
It really hits home when you see those dudes and those torches and you're just like, what the fuck?
It made
fuck?
Me so sick. Like, I was just so sick. And then the car stuff that I had not seen.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't.
I was
It's
just,
good. I'm glad you don't watch that stuff.
I was just
it's
gutted.
Upsetting. Yeah.
I just was like, oh, my God. I'm and you were like, oh, my God, you didn't see it. I was like, no, I don't watch that stuff. Reading about it is horrible enough. Now I have this visual.
Yeah, I know. Ugh. I know. I'm with you.
So that was really powerful and a really powerful way to end that movie because it's like, look,
just
it's still
so
happening.
Spike, like,
so Spike.
He ended with his patented shot of the dolly ride with them going down the hall.
Yeah.
And then to go into that that last sequence.
Yeah,
is just
and Trump
like,
and his language of like, well, yeah, one group was violent, but the other group was violent too. And
right.
it's like,
bad
that,
people on
like,
one
that
side
matters
and
basically.
The other side.
It matters.
It does. That was. I mean, what a movie for the time and for it to be Spike Lee.
Yeah.
It all just coalesced.
Who is so – his career is on fire right
I
now.
I can see
He's
him.
He's like at his peak.
I know. Well, I've raved on the show about
– that she's got to have it.
Yeah, about the TV show.
Oh, so good.
So great. The other thing I want to mention from this movie that we both love but was when during the scene where they went to the rally and Kwame Ture was speaking and he did the montage of all the faces – while he was speaking,
that was amazing.
Like overlapping one another.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So I read an interview where Spike was talking about that, and that was his editor that like had this idea and showed him, and Spike was like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good stuff.
Yeah. That movie, I went into it having no idea, and I was just completely blown away.
I could see this winning.
It's my pick.
Is it? All right. Well, that's fine.
Spoiler alert.
No one cares. Actually, there's like 5% of the listeners right now are like, God damn it, Emily.
Oh, sorry. I'm not very good at keeping secrets.
No, it's fine. That's what I love about you. Just one of many things.
Until you don't.
All right. Are we done with that one?
For now, yeah.
Anything else you want to say about it?
I don't think so. That's I wish I'd taken notes because I'm sure I had some more
more thoughts.
Worked out thoughts. It's hard when you pile all the movies on top of each other. It doesn't leave a lot of time for meandering through.
Retrospection.
Know. Yeah.
Introspection.
Both. Retrospection, introspection.
All right. You know what's up next?
What's next?
Mama
just
killed a man.
If you don't pick this just surely out of the amount
Put
of times you've seen it.
His head.
Pulled my trigger, now he's dead.
So there's a running joke on Mini Crush that
now he's
me
dead?
And Noel.
I always say
pulled
the wrong word.
My trigger, now he's dead. Is it? I don't even know now. that Noel and I sang at some point during every Mini Crush, whether it's whatever. It organically just seems to happen all the time. So we got our singing in.
God.
Ooh. All right. I will just be doing that all day.
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody. I've seen it 3 times. Saw it in the theater.
Twice.
Twice. And then at home once.
Yeah, with me.
And then I've also watched the Live Aid section 2 or 3 more times.
Yeah, I walked into that the other day. And it's funny. So I got so used to Rami Malek being Freddie Mercury that I walked in. I was like, wait, is this a Live Aid one? And I was like, wait. I got really confused.
Yeah, because he's been around a lot on TV.
Yeah.
Well, I loved this movie.
You
don't
say.
Do I need to say it?
Yeah.
And here's what I've told people that just friends of mine or whatever, and we're talking about it, friends of ours. I'd say there may have been a better film that Sacha Baron Cohen was going to make, but this was a more enjoyable movie. And it was a love letter to Queen.
It was.
And they may have sanitized it, and there were plenty of tropes.
Yeah.
And sort of kind of corny moments here and there, but I just fucking loved it.
And some fairly bad wigs, but yes.
Yeah.
The band, it's like those guys didn't look like they had that hair. It's fine.
No.
Like, I all is forgiven.
The Brian May guy looked pretty good.
Mm, yeah.
And John Deacon just had great hair throughout his career in the 80s when he had that big mushroom.
Yeah.
And of course, that was a kid from Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Which you pointed out, which
Joseph
I would have
Mazzello.
Eventually gotten. Yeah. It was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really loved it. I was very touched. I was really, really touched by his relationship with, what's her name? The woman he married originally.
Yeah. Love of my life.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm not going to do that the whole time.
No, go ahead.
What was her name in real life?
Elizabeth? I think I just pulled that out of my ass.
Lucy Boynton was the actor. That's so annoying. She is literally the only one that doesn't have her character name.
Really?
On the computer in front of my face.
Audrey or Elizabeth? I suck at names so badly. But I loved her because she was from, what was that?
Mary Austin.
Mary. The lovely little Irish movie that we watched together on the plane about...
Sing Street.
She was the girl from Sing Street.
No way.
Yes.
Well, recommendation, everyone. Very small indie film from the UK.
So great.
Period piece in...
Ireland, like 70s, maybe 80s, maybe Ireland.
It's just coming of age. Ugh. It has to do with music of the time. It is adorable.
It's adorable. It's really a very sweet movie.
I didn't realize that was her.
That was her.
She had black hair, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That might have been... I knew, you know, I've got that, like, I know her face thing.
Right. And then Alan Leach, of course, from Downton Abbey was the bad guy. In Bohemian Rhapsody. He was the dude, you know, in the big scene in the rain, the leechy manager's assistant.
Oh,
that was,
yeah.
That was the, you know, he was the, not the valet, but the coachman or whatever in Downton Abbey.
Yeah. And then what was the nickname for the, like the, not the manager guy.
Miami Beach.
Miami Beach, yeah. He was from.
Jim Beach.
He was from, he played the really awful cousin in Pride and Prejudice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That has lost on me.
A few people might care about that.
A lot of people care about that, for
sure. Awful cousin who tried to marry Lizzie, and she was like, no.
He was great as Miami Beach.
He was great, and it was funny to see him in a different role because he was so cringeworthy in Pride and Prejudice. He played that role so perfectly. So it was like, okay, he's a normal person. He's not that gross short man who thinks he's much taller.
the had some of the better musical, like, concert recreations I've seen. I thought it worked.
It totally worked.
I mean, the Live Aid thing, forget about it. I mean,
that was the fact that they did it shot for shot.
Step for step.
Yeah. That was really
the footage with the choreographer.
Yeah,
so
in front of it kind of doing like the motion.
Yeah, that was in the extras, everyone. There's a choreographer, this lady that's sort of down, like in front of the stage and down a bit, and just literally aping kind of, all the same exact things.
But half-heartedly, because he's up there like hip thrusting, and she's kind of like doing little punches.
Yeah, just to, I guess it's his reminder.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then seeing all the green screen stuff too of how they. Oops.
Oh yeah, of how they shot that.
Yeah,
that was so cool.
Because I believed it. It was funny. I mean, I worked in the film industry for how many years? I was like, how did they get all those extras?
Right,
like, what a dumbass.
You thought all of those were real people?
I've gone back to my movies are magic. They just make things happen. I've like stopped.
Well, it did look good.
Like picking apart, you know, like yeah. Oh, that's how they did that, and that's how they did that. I'm just back to loving movies.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, it was a very sweet movie.
It was. His relationship with Mary, his relationship with the guys, like, yeah. They really were, you know, brothers and yeah. Family. And, like, Jesus, at the end, like, when he gets the diagnosis and all that stuff was
brutal.
Just—
brutal, yeah.
And the soundtrack, like, of course it was all Queen, but, like, there's the song selection was just perfect.
Yeah.
All the ones they chose.
Yeah, for you, especially as
yeah, because there were some deep cuts that yeah. Were just, like, perfect for the scenes.
Well, and I learned— for the first time ever, that Queen sang Radio Gaga.
Who did you think sang that?
I don't know. I
just
think
like some
it was an 80s.
One Hit Wonder or whatever?
I guess. I genuinely, they were singing that. I'm like, wait, that sounds like Radio Gaga. I was like, did they cover this?
You're
I
like, really, is that Wang Chung?
I genuinely had no idea. I mean, that was kind of a later 80s song of theirs.
Yeah,
you know, it
yeah.
Got a lot of radio play. I genuinely have no recollection. It doesn't come up on greatest hit stuff.
Yeah, like we were kids when that came
yeah.
out.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, we were like high school. It was 80s, wasn't it?
I don't know the like year, but I feel like, yeah, 80s. We were like 12 or 13
yeah.
probably.
Yeah, but it was funny because I was like, I know that song. Wait, no, that's not right. Yeah, it is. I thought it was like a song that sounded like it. Yeah.
Just so good. And, you know, Rami Malek, we haven't even officially commented.
Oh, he just nailed it.
Just didn't get any better than that.
There's really, it's like, that is truly where, like, best acting comes in when
yeah.
people – when these actors embody these characters, like, they study their body language and really – like, to be able to mimic somebody like that.
And still act a performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think he did both.
It's a true gift.
Yeah.
Because that's not – you know, that's really hard to do. It's, like, one thing to, like, feel a scene and act a scene, but another
yeah.
to embody a person who is larger than life, especially. Like
– yeah. To play Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Like – perhaps the greatest front man of all time.
Yeah.
Dare I say?
I know. Yes, of course you may. In your humble opinion.
Yeah, that's I'm not going to vote for that. Well, here I go, ruining my own.
You're not voting for Bohemian Rhapsody?
No.
I'm mildly shocked, but okay.
That I would vote for that for Chuck's favorite movie.
Okay, fair enough.
But that's not the same thing necessarily.
Oh, so are we supposed to be like, well, we can get into this because I picked Black Klansman because it was my favorite movie, but am I supposed to now get into the head of the impossible to figure out Oscar people?
Oh, no, no, no. We're not going to predict.
Bitterness about how they
well, we might
pick things.
Say, like, I think this person may win, but whatever.
Okay.
That's a fool's errand.
Yeah.
All
the
right.
Oscars end up pissing me off, as anyone who listened last year
we were pretty salty last yeah. year. We're not going to do that this year. Like the
no,
day of,
I think that's
that was too much.
That it was too much. It just went south. We were tired. It was brutal.
I know. By the
Oscars
end, we were like,
are, like yeah. The Oscars are like a marathon.
Yeah.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations.
Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
But everyone, you should be delighted to know, first announcement here, I've been doing the filmmaker series with Paul and Casey. Emily and I are going to do an Alexander Payne filmography series.
Pretty excited about that.
Going to knock them off.
Although
one
I'm
at
starting
a time.
To get a little greedy about ones he's dishing out to other people.
I know he wants Sofia Coppola. Go
I
ahead
want
and say
Sofia
it.
Coppola. It's already been given to someone else without even asking me.
You know what I'll give you? All right. Horse trading. Paul keeps Sofia Coppola.
All right.
It means a lot to Paul.
This has nothing to do with Paul. It's all about me.
You can get Alexander Payne and Nicole Holofcener.
All right.
Deal?
Yeah, I'm in.
That'll be great. One lady, one dude.
Yeah.
Two of our faves.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm trying to think of another lady director to throw in there while we're bargaining. Give me a minute and I'll.
Well, sadly, you really have to think because they are few and far between because of sexism.
Well, from that era. I'm talking about, a weather book. We did get one.
Do you have your phone on?
I didn't mean to.
That's all right.
I'm getting weather alerts that we're going to drown when we go outside.
yeah, everyone, it is pouring down rain right now. Oh, Joe Alwyn. He is John Paul Gaultier to the max. I just pulled up the favorite.
Oh, okay. Oh, my, no, he totally is. He looks exactly like him. That's what
is
I
that
kept
his name?
Saying.
John
yeah.
Paul
John Paul Gaultier, I think. Oh. Gaultier. I think you're making it fancier than it is.
I thought his name was John Paul Dossier.
No. Gaultier.
Oh, wait. A dossier wait. is a file.
It's Dude Man.
Gaultier?
Gaultier.
Gosling?
No, not Gosling.
He looks like Zach.
Yeah. He totally looks. Yeah.
Zach
Saved by the Bell.
That's his name.
Yeah, exactly. No, he was spot on.
All right. So
maybe it's his offspring.
We're on the favorite, which. I watched it in my favorite way to watch a movie, which was in four different parts.
The fourth being 5 minutes before we left to come here.
We watched the last 30 seconds.
Yeah, realizing. So, but we have to tell the story. So sure. We watched half of it and I fell asleep. And then half of it and Chuck
fell
asleep. A third of it and Chuck fell asleep. Almost a third of it this morning and right before our daughter woke up. So she came in and we have like a no TV on weekday mornings thing, because if not, we would just have to argue with her incessantly all the time.
Bad parents.
Yeah. Well, but trust me, their parents are like, I don't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure.
But it's not worth like sending for. So we turned it off right as she got up, which we realized was 3 frames before the end of the movie. I went to work and I was talking to one of my girls about it. And she goes, did you see the end? I said, well, we turned off like 5 minutes before the end. And I told her what part we turned off.
She goes, bunny montage.
The faces morphing into bunnies. She goes, that's the end. I was like, oh my God, that's hysterical. So we watched it and we literally had just like not seen that the bunny fade out.
So.
Which is really weird.
Boy, I love this movie.
It was a great movie. I wish we'd seen it more altogether.
I wish I would have seen it in the theater.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
The director, Yorgos Lanthimos, Nolan, I've talked a lot about. Everyone thinks he's like one of the new geniuses.
Well, his style, I don't even know what to call it because it's not a mockumentary, but it's not. Like, just a tongue was in the like cheek throughout the entire thing.
Very clever and like modern in some ways, but also like
bits of ridiculousness.
Cheeky.
Yeah.
And like, slapstick,
absurd, yeah.
Absurdity.
Yeah.
Man, what a movie.
And all within like this amazing set and beautiful interiors.
Yeah, it looked like a Merchant Ivory thing.
Yeah, the queen's bedroom was just like dripping with richness. Like that's one of the better palaces.
Her bedroom
I've
was dripping in a lot of ways.
And we watch, and we watch a lot of things with palaces. So I'm going to have to say,
we
have a lot of
palace fare in palace our repertoire. I loved it, and boy, the acting. They all three got nom. Rachel Weisz, Emma Stone, and Olivia Colman was so
Olivia
good.
Colman. Oh, my God. She was like – that was her performance because of how – like she nailed that character.
Yeah.
That, you know, kind of just like
– she was so good.
Oh, my God. And it's like I forget that she wasn't actually her. Like this was an actor who probably
– I haven't seen her in much. What's
she
been in?
I need to look her up because if she's been in something
– Nicholas Hoult.
He was fabulous. He was always in that stupid powdered wig, which is hysterical.
And, you know, it was – I know you're not as super well-versed with the Kubrick stuff, but I was talking to Casey today and I mentioned to you when we were watching it, like it just reeked of Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, style.
Yeah, like especially Barry Lyndon, obviously, because the period and because the tone and the camera work.
Yeah.
So many like – just the way he shot this thing, there were just lens-wise, he'd do these super wide shots. He'd do these fisheye shots.
The fisheye stuff was really like – but it was weird because it's like can you shoot through a fisheye without shooting fisheye? Because it would like be – you know, it would be like during like a pan or something and then suddenly it would like fisheye out.
Oh, did it morph into fisheye?
Yeah. There were a lot
of
times – or it was a really good cut. I don't know. Again, that's something that we'd maybe been watching it in one big piece.
Well, it just – The camera would whip around.
It was just really unique.
So unique. That scene and the kind of wrestling scene in the
woods. Oh, my God. It was sexual, but yeah, they're like beating the shit out of each other.
And Zack Attack.
That was hysterical.
It was so weird.
It was so unexpected. Like, you didn't know what was going to happen next. It was
totally
killing me when Nicholas Hoult kept pushing her down the hill. They're just walking and just like push her in the back and she like fell down the hill. I mean, it was almost slapstick.
He was such an asshole.
He was, but I don't know.
It was so
great.
Good.
It was just really –
Rachel Weisz was fucking awesome.
She was awesome.
Boy, she was good.
Yeah.
Like,
Steely,
see her bringing it, like, at, you know, this point in her career. Like,
she's one of my faves. She's really –
God, that was
I've
awesome.
Always really loved
Emma Stone
her.
Was great.
She was great. Emma Stone just
– she's awesome.
There's always a degree of Emma Stone in there. Like, she doesn't lose
no,
herself
totally.
In a role for me.
I agree.
But she's great. She's –
but you like
know,
Emma Stone. Like,
I do like
a likable person.
Yeah.
So I think that helps.
Yeah.
If there's a little bit of her in each role.
Yeah.
Who else was in that cast? I mean, great cast. I don't recognize many of these people, but probably a lot of quality English actors.
Yeah.
Lord Marlborough, the guy with the pet duck. He carried around because it was the fastest duck.
I kind of missed all of that. She said, like, go when she was getting rescued from the
whorehouse. There were the duck races at the beginning.
Oh.
And he always had his duck, and he was like, it's so, you know, it's the fastest duck in the county. It's too valuable.
Well, no, Marlborough was her husband, though. But the duck race guy was somebody else. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that was Godolphin.
Okay, yeah. Because that was who saved her from the whorehouse.
Right. That, ugh. God,
that was
that place
so
was
distressing.
So gross.
But he was like, did you get raped? She's like, no.
Yeah. Oh, God. Would she say you can, like, suck for your rent or something
it
like that?
It was that whole thing. They were, like, keeping her there as a prisoner. But it's funny because she was so unruffled. She never worried about it.
No,
she knew she was not going to. She really was. Just that steely resolve. And I will say, because I was thinking about this, I was kind of comparing and contrasting Emma Stone. I really genuinely do believe that Lady Marlborough was a patriot. She thought she was doing the best thing for her country, whereas Emma Stone said it. She said, I'm only out for myself.
She was trying to regain the status she once
had.
Well,
of course. She didn't want to be a scullery maid. She wanted to be a lady. But it was interesting because she ended up having the most impact. And it's like, well, was the best, you know, did the best thing for the country end up happening?
Right.
It's like the well-meaning.
Because the politics of it played pretty heavily into it.
Oh, totally.
Like,
I mean, they switched.
There was a whole kind of subplot of the war in the background.
Yeah. The Whigs became kind of the prevailing party in their politics, you know, like
right.
It was like a big shift, basically.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
The minister changed, so.
And she was just being manipulated, like, at every turn, Queen Anne was.
But again, like, I don't understand enough about what was going on at the time, but, you know, Rachel Weisz was, she was at least thinking of it from a country perspective.
Yeah, and she was pretty like – I mean, she said a couple of times – well, that too. But she said a couple of times, like, you know, there's nothing – basically, there's nothing I wouldn't do for my country.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with me.
Yeah. But she got ousted. And then the
– Yeah.
the most manipulative, sweeter one.
I like her tongue inside me.
Oh, God. I was like,
I like it when she puts her tongue inside me. But lines like that. Like,
yeah.
It totally.
It was like kind of vulgar. And,
yeah. God, it was good.
Yeah.
I just can't wait. Like, this is a guy that's made The Lobster, Killing of a Sacred Deer, and this, and they're all so different.
Yeah.
But they're all weird.
They're equally kind of batty.
And so unique.
Yeah.
Like, it's just with the way films are today.
Yeah.
For someone to come along that is this just original.
Is he a writer, director?
No, I don't think so. He didn't write this. Tony McNamara and Deborah Davis.
Okay.
Wrote the script.
It's a brilliant script.
Boy,
it's so snappy and quick.
All right. Shall we?
We shall.
Sorry, everybody. I'm having technical difficulties. I'll just leave this in, though, because who cares? Green Book.
Green Book.
That we just saw last night.
Saw it last night.
Good movie.
It was fine.
I really liked it.
It left me feeling really good.
But like...
It was a little hokey.
Yeah.
Like a little. And I'm like...
It was a good movie, though. Like, I feel bad bagging on it in any way because there's really nothing wrong with it.
I don't... Exactly. And I don't mean hokey like unwatchable hokey, but it was just a little bit, lots of tropes and obviously some through lines that were may have been the case, but probably added, you know.
It could have been a little more indie feeling. I think I would have liked it more.
Agreed. It was definitely mainstream. But I really, really loved the relationship that developed between these two really disparate men. And especially for the time, how it all went down, you know, I don't know. And the fact that it was based on a true story. Like,
which I didn't know.
Until after. You're like, oh, it's based on a true story. I was like, yeah, that's the whole thing.
I felt like such a dumb shit. He was great. What's the guy? Don Shirley. Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala Ali. He was fantastic.
God. We both like that face. I just love that face.
It's a
of
wonderful
his.
Face and his beautiful long fingers. So like did you look up his piano playing?
Oh, no.
If
I didn't
he
research
didn't play
that.
Piano, I hope he plays piano now because he has the piano, like the beautiful long finger piano playing hands that like the fingers just glide over
the
keys.
He did it like that was all believable. That was some of the best. Like, whatever. If he's obviously not that kind of piano player, and like he's not some kind of virtuoso in real life.
No, but he may have learned a couple of the ones, like the ones you know, like were kind of like coming, like starting at the far octaves and coming up. He was playing that. He knew it well enough for it.
But
to...
these days too, I mean, I should just look up how they did that because these days you can do so much with like they used a real pianist's hands and like comped them in on
there
his
were a few
arms.
Times, but no, I don't think they did that. I bet he seems like somebody who takes his craft pretty seriously.
Oh, well, I wouldn't expect him
I mean, like
to.
Ryan Gosling, La La Land, he learned to play all of those songs. You know, so it's like
did
if
he
you,
really? All those?
Yeah, apparently so, yeah. And I think he learned to play them well enough that they could like, you know, like at least he could keep doing the things and maybe if he made any mistakes, that's a thing because it's like you can play those songs, but
well, no
to
one
play
knows.
Them without a mistake
but
is
no one
probably
knows if
impossible.
You're making a mistake.
Well, but if you do playback and then you're, you know,
well,
you've got
sure.
your beautiful handwork, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. But
oh,
he did. There
goodness.
Were two
beautiful
songs
handwork.
That he played. He's known for his beautiful handwork.
That's a good band name.
Yeah, you're welcome to it.
Viggo Mortensen was really good, but like for some reason I had a little bit of trouble buying him.
I love Viggo.
I do too.
He lost himself in that role for me. I stopped thinking that's Viggo Mortensen.
I eventually did. I think for a little while it was a little off for me though.
The character was a little bit like I've seen that character so many times.
So many times.
And that accent was so.
But
you
it's
know
the real
but
guy.
It is.
That's what he was
it
like.
Is.
So
that's
you know.
The thing. It almost seemed like a trope, but it's like
Gabagool.
Yeah. Like
hey.
He really. You know that I think that was the thing.
Yeah, and that was the guy. I mean, oh by the way, I found out the. One of the screenwriters was Tony Lip's kid.
Oh.
So Tony Lip was an actor, too. He was in a bunch of movies over the years.
Oh, no way.
And his son, he was in The Sopranos, I think.
Of course he was, because he had that accent. Like, everybody with that accent was in The Sopranos.
His son either wrote or co-wrote the movie and was in it. He played the guy. You recognize a picture of him. He played the guy at the head of the table. That said, like, the really bad thing at the end where he's like, don't talk about him like that.
Oh, I know. Exactly. Okay. That was his son?
That's the real Tony Lip's son.
That's pretty cool.
Who co-wrote the movie or wrote the movie. I'm trying to look this up, everyone, but I don't want to hold things up. Linda Cardellini was so great.
She's just lovely.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. It was a small part, you know,
but
she's so warm and lovely. Yeah. And that was, you know, it was just sweet. It was like.
But it was really those guys. It was their. I mean, as far as a screen duo and like chemistry, it was like.
It was so
really,
believable.
Really good.
And it's like it made me think, you know, and how it unraveled itself, too. It was like these two different, really different guys from really different backgrounds.
And you know, and it's coming a mile away, but it was still like satisfying.
Yeah. Well, and they kind of helped each other and taught each other. And, you know, I mean, it really left you like, you know, just feeling super warm and fuzzy. And especially watching Mahershala Ali's very like he didn't fit into any world either. So yeah, that's
that
where
one
the time
scene
really
in the rain.
In. Oh, yeah, like, when he's like, I don't fit.
I'm not black enough, I'm not white enough,
then what am I? Yeah.
Fuck.
It's like to be an upper, you know, like echelon black gay man in the North
he didn't fit in anywhere.
We figured it was like the 50s?
1962.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the scene that really got me was when they stopped when the radiator burst.
Yeah.
And they're right by like the cotton field and the cotton pickers kind of all stopped and looked, and it was just this worlds colliding.
I know.
You know, it's like the white guy's driving and the wealthy.
And then
well-to-do.
He opened the door, you know, the white guy opens the door for him.
Yeah.
And, like,
and they were all just standing there like, what did we just see? It was so crazy. But that's when he's looking too. He's like, you know, I don't have anything in common with these people.
I know.
My life
it was
is
like a lonely moment.
So
for
different.
Him.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah, he was so good.
Well, and to just, you know, just like little bits of what it must have been like to be so, treated so horribly. And the fortitude that you would have to take it, I would not be able to take it. Like what you, like the self-control.
Oh, to be that strong to not fight back? Oh, are you kidding me? You'd fucking be right up in someone's—
I'd be like Tony Lip. I'd be like socking the guy. I mean, I can't
just
imagine—
Just that much composure and dignity, like—
High Road is great and all, but when somebody is, like, literally, like, just basically spitting on you with their words, the emotional strength, but also the pain that must have caused. Like, I just can't imagine being in that
position.
Oh,
man, those scenes where, like, where he was, like, had to pee— And
he
would take me to go back, and they were like, "We'll wait." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?"
Oh my God! I
and to
just
not
was
be seated
like,
at the dinner table, like
I just kept thinking, "Shame on you!"
Like they want him to perform for them, but like,
shame on you!
Ugh, God,
what? I just thought, like, how can you not be human? How, like, you're still basically telling this man who you brought into your house to entertain you and your friends that he's subhuman and he can't use your fucking bathroom?
Yeah,
I mean, it makes me crazy just thinking about it.
And babe, that was in the 1960s.
I know, I know. It's like within,
It's really, really sad and shameful. But good movie. I think I could have, what I think I wanted was like that scene in the rain, that power. I wanted a little bit more of that.
Like to see him being vulnerable.
Well,
and
just like moments that were just like, you know, where I felt like I was going to cry or crying. Like I didn't get super emotional during this. And I'm usually, you know, me, I'm like, I'm invested. There was something about it. Maybe it was the gloss of it.
Maybe. I think the gloss is, it was glossy. That's what kept it, like, it was slightly, if it had been slightly more raw.
Yeah.
Then maybe I would have thought of it.
I'm with you.
I would have been a little more invested as, like, best picture material. But, so this is the kind of movie that it seems like the Oscars would pick. Because it has just enough kind of representative, like non-mainstream content.
Right, but and, it's still like—
But it's still mainstream.
It's Hollywood
it's still
movie.
Glossy. So, yeah.
All right, Roma.
Roma. That was the first one I watched. You'd already seen it.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater and then saw it at home. I think it's not only the best movie of the year, but I think it's like— A modern, like, masterpiece.
It was a masterpiece. It was beautiful. And the way it was a masterpiece is that it was a slice of life. You didn't even feel like you were watching a movie.
No,
it was like—
Not for a second.
Yeah, you were watching this woman's story. And while a couple really impactful things happened, a lot of it was just people living their lives. You know, it's like with these— It wasn't even so much about the events. It was like about all of the in-between moments of the events.
It was like the Mexican ice storm.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of that movie, just sort of like these lives and things that happen to people and like on a small level.
Well, and for her, all of the repetition.
Divorced,
but all of the she was part of that family, and she was like mildly mistreated sometimes by the mom, but I really believe she also loved her.
Right.
The
but way like those, you would mistreat family almost.
I guess. It was like the way she would talk to her husband or her kids if she was upset. The way those children loved her. I mean, it just, I mean, just get out of here with that.
Well, the poster shot, you know, that's that.
Well, when you realize what that is later.
You can't get it in context, but when you see it in the movie.
Yeah.
And they all just surround her. Yeah. And it's just like.
Well, and that was when she had the big, like, she acknowledges she didn't want the baby. And, like, she feels all this guilt. Like, that was kind of her cleansing, too. And she couldn't swim. And she almost drowned saving the kids. God. It was like, you know. But again, it was like. But it was a very low drama. Like, you're stressed.
Yeah.
Because you know what's going on. But it wasn't this big, like, flailing. You
no,
know,
no, no.
She goes into the water after the
shit.
Kids. Yeah. Even though she can't swim. And you just kind of see, like, waves blobbing up and down. And you see them kind of.
And it was all one shot.
Moving out, and then the camera went all the way out and back.
Yeah,
and but it's like it wasn't dramatic. It was just like you're like holding your breath because you're like, oh my god, is she going to drown trying to save these children? But she doesn't.
I didn't even think there was any score during that part.
No, it's just quiet.
It was just the sounds of what was happening. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken. Whew, man, what a movie! I mean, beautiful black and white.
Yeah, gorgeous. Really, really good use of black and white.
Like,
for that.
And you sort of alluded to it a second ago, but. And this is the main point I talk about with everyone who's seen this movie is the like I can't even imagine this movie being shot because at no point does it feel like you were saying like it's a movie being made.
No,
like
the people didn't seem like
scenes,
actors.
I know it's I'm trying to imagine someone saying cut and like wardrobe coming out and set design moving something.
It's like they found this family living their life
and had
like
a time capsule and went back and just
and
shot
a documentarian
their story.
Just showed up with a camera and kind of quietly followed them around. We love the dog. What's his name? That bad boy.
What's it,
it was a.
Oh no, because it was sort of slightly pronounced different than you would think.
Like Bassos or.
Hold on.
He was so stinky. But the like that even like that repetition, like every time she's constantly getting the dog and getting him away from the door and opening the door and then all of the shit with the car going in that narrow space was so funny. Those details too of like there's this ridiculously narrow garage and these like really wide cars and like
The
minutiae that he focused on.
That parking space, like how each of them got in there.
And then the mom was pissed and like jacked up the car coming in. Like she just was like running it like, fuck it, running into the sides.
All right, so I just brought up an article called One of the Most Devastating Parts of Roma is Dog Poop.
That's hysterical.
That had a lot to do with it.
That stressed me out because I was thinking, that smells so bad. She's down there on her hands and knees. Well, that the whole beginning that you don't even realize, which was slightly stressful for me because I was – it was over the credits. It was just water being swished.
Why did you not like that? I thought it was gorgeous.
I don't know. It was like – it had this like menacing quality. I don't know.
Because you
I can't
got
explain
like pissy
it.
About it. I was like, what is your
no,
problem?
No, I got anxious about it, which made me like, all right, can like we just move on to what's happening? Because I'm like, what is going up with this water?
I think it went on for too long for you.
It went on much too long. And I didn't know, you know, I didn't have a frame of reference for what was happening. I'm a control freak. That didn't work for me.
Oh. Well,
but then
nice
you find
have
out.
That on record.
Oh, shush. Beep.
Well, in this whole article about the dog poop, it didn't even say the dog's name once. I can't remember. But, the acting was so good. What is her name?
The nanny?
Yeah. Or... I have my glasses on, but it's still too small. I'm the worst with names. Everyone's going to laugh at this.
Yeah.
Yalitza Aparicio. And then Nancy Garcia was Adela, her colleague and cohort.
It was great, yeah.
Their relationship was so sweet.
It was funny because it was like either she's the best actress or the worst actress because there was no acting.
I don't know their story. I mean, I think you might have literally plucked them, like, from obscurity, if I'm not mistaken.
But what's really interesting about that, though, it was such an understated performance. Most of her is just, like, almost moving in the background. You know what I mean? Like, it was just her doing her work. There wasn't.
Yeah, that's her film debut. Like, he just discovered her.
I mean, she wasn't super emotional. You know, like, she certainly had those rough scenes, that one in the hospital I can't even, like, get into. But,
boy, that scene.
Yeah. And,
No.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that. No one needs that.
Some of the more beautiful scenes to me were, and just crazy, and how did he film this, was the protests turned into a riot. like when they're up in the baby,
that was so stressful,
baby store, and they're looking out the window when it breaks out. Holy shit!
Yeah, that was crazy.
And then the when they're away at the guest house, when the fire happens in the woods.
Oh,
at
that
night.
Was crazy! And you're like in the middle of the fire, and again, I'm like so stressed out. But there's no, it's just people like kind of calmly throwing buckets of water.
When I was watching it, I wasn't stressed because I was like, they seem like this is okay. Like
well,
it's
the, guy, the dude was just like singing and is, you know, in the middle of it.
Yeah, that was so cool.
But it really, all of it, like these dramatic moments, other than the hospital, weren't even super dramatic. You know, it was kind of like a camera was just here capturing. Like people weren't screaming and fire wasn't raging.
Yeah, it was
there wasn't
all very believable.
Big music. It was just kind of like, you know.
Real
this,
shit.
Yeah.
God, it was good. That black and white, too. You know, that is up my alley.
Yeah, it was really, it was a really beautiful movie. He deserves every award he's won thus far.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Okay, you know what's next?
What's next?
A Star is Born!
Oh, yeah.
Which is not even a song.
It is now.
We like this movie a lot.
I love this movie.
Yeah.
No shame.
No, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Just for context, everyone, my boss, you don't work here.
I don't work here.
My boss is really, 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 really good friends with Bradley Cooper. They were like in each other's weddings and they went to college together and were like roommates and they're good old friends. So he's been talking about this movie for a while because he saw an early screening and all this stuff. And that's just a little backstory.
Yeah. Which is super cool because you kind of have access to, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to get him on the show, but
yeah,
he's
busy.
Yeah.
And notoriously not into press, I think, right?
Yeah, and just doesn't like, it's fine. Not everyone has to come on Movie Crush. You know?
I guess.
Like, I don't think he's dissing me or anything like that.
No. I don't think it's personal.
So, hold on. Let me pour a little beans.
Lug, lug, lug. You can hear the chuck pour, which is usually a very heavy-handed pour.
Hey. That's not necessary.
Well, it's not an insult. It's a fact about you that people might like to know.
So I will say this about the movie. Whether or not you liked this movie, because a lot of people don't like this movie.
That's fine.
I think it comes down to, based on people I've seen saying that and what they're saying about it, I think it comes down to whether or not you buy Bradley Cooper in this role.
Sure, I totally bought him.
As mini Sam Elliott, Kris Kristofferson, you know,
yeah,
country boy, road-born singer.
I totally bought it.
I bought it.
I think Bradley Cooper is a great actor.
I don't think
all of his movies he's been in have been great. But like once you see Silver Linings Playbook,
you're like,
that guy can act.
And American Hustle, like
he's great.
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
I'm a big fan too. Like legit a big fan.
Totally.
I think, in fact, the Oscars ripped him off terribly for not nominating for Silver Linings Playbook. But that's history.
Oh, did he not?
No.
Oh, really?
Jennifer Lawrence got nominated, but he didn't. I thought he was totally robbed.
Well, and I think he may have been robbed for Best Director because
why doesn't the Academy like Bradley Cooper?
I don't know. If you look at what Best Director means, and then especially when you see the behind the scenes stuff.
Oh my God! It was as close to auteur as you could get without actually being fully
in a tough movie to make.
Yeah, and starring.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, like, again, it's like that was, it seems like a deliberate snub. I don't know who else, we'll have to talk about who else was nominated for Best Director, but it also doesn't help when you have 30 Best Pictures and 5 Best Directors.
Well,
so
that's true.
Just saying.
We talked in Bohemian Rhapsody about the performance pieces, but I think these performance pieces were even better.
They were great.
Except for the Live Aid thing.
They're great.
I think these were more believable.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I know of Lady Gaga, obviously. Every time I've given her a few lessons here and there, and I just keep thinking Madonna, you know, like,
sure.
Which maybe is terribly derivative. She's a very talented piano player and musician. But, you know, that's kind of like the style of music. I don't love it. I don't dislike it at all. But I don't, you know, I don't have anything in particular for her. But after this, I love her.
Yeah.
The stripped down Lady Gaga, especially without all the glam and like the different hair colors and stuff, like seeing her.
She was so good.
She was beautiful.
She was really good.
And yeah, just really like.
She can act. She could.
She was great.
Obviously, she can sing.
Yeah. It was really powerful.
We watched the following night, we watched the Kristofferson Streisand, and it's not a very good movie,
everyone. It's not very good.
I didn't know that. I thought it was some big classic.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good. This movie was way better.
It was way better. And then we watched the trailer for the Judy Garland one and like the 40-minute trailer. We were like, and I don't think I have number 3 in me.
That movie's so long. I think they had all these
super trailer extended, was like 20 minutes.
Like full song and dance numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it was like a 3-hour movie. It was like
I get it.
Gone with the Wind. I get it. Yeah, that's what it was funny because I was like, are we watching this? And you were like, nope.
Sam Elliott's great. Dave Chappelle was so good.
Dave Chappelle was great.
And that small part
that was
just
a little
so
stripped down performance.
Tender.
Yeah, and like that was like one of his few touchstones as he's like, you know, going off the cliff basically.
Yeah.
Not literally like Kris Kristofferson.
Anthony Ramos from Hamilton and She's Gotta Have It.
Oh, he's
who we love so much.
It's a small part for him, but I heart him. And yeah, She's Gotta Have It.
And then
I
the
love
Dice
that
Man.
Guy. The Dice Man was fantastic.
He was great.
Because, you know, it's like 80s misogyny, which I, you know, sadly in the 80s, I loved the Dice Man, even though he's a fucking pig. Well, now it's like, you know, I'm just like time and place, people. That's important.
There was an old lady who lived in a shoe. She had so many kids, her uterus fell out.
God.
Out of all his bad jokes, I think
Hickory
that,
Dickory Dock.
Yeah, like those are sort of like didn't age well. But I think the old lady in the shoe joke is great.
Yeah, you know, but that was him. That
so
was just
dumb.
His thing, and we all thought it was hysterical. And you know, now I realize I was misled a lot as a young woman in the 1980s. But
how many times did we play that that song? In the days after this movie.
It was great.
We played it like 10 or 12
great,
times.
It was just a really like hooky song.
Super good song.
Yeah, and bass sound great. And she's, you know,
good.
It was a very, like that was a big, like powerful part in the movie. And
really
it was
good
great.
Stuff. I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was a really enjoyable, I wasn't like, oh my God, that was the best picture of the year. But it was just a really enjoyable film to
me. It was. The great part about being middle-aged is I don't care what people think about what I think anymore. I like what I like unabashedly. Yes. And if I don't like something, you know, it's not a snobby choice anymore. Like, I can't like that movie because it's not cool to like that movie.
Yeah,
like, now if I like
about
it,
getting older.
Who gives a shit?
You don't care.
I don't
you
care.
You make decisions based on your
I watch
pure
movies
instincts.
To make me feel things. So it's like if something makes me feel how I want to feel from it, I'm in.
Yeah. Good movie.
You thoroughly enjoyed. I would like to see it again, actually. There are, like, aren't a ton I would revisit,
I would
totally
see this
watch
again,
that again.
For sure.
Well, we bought it, didn't we? Well, we now have a rich Apple movie buy history because we had to buy a bunch of these movies to see them before this.
Yeah, I'll expense it.
If anyone maybe. Wants to come I'll, to our I'll house and watch Green Book.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, directorial debut, that is a very ballsy thing to do.
It is.
Is to be the, I think, fourth installment of this legendary Hollywood.
Was there like a
there was a pre-Judy
one?
Garland. Yeah, that was a very early, early
like a
thing.
Silent.
Where it was literally about the stars in the galaxy being born from the hand of God. It was very sweet. But God sings.
Hey, I would expect God to be a great singer.
She is. It's pretty great. So
good one.
To choose this as a directorial debut to remake this because someone was going to do it. And then in 15 years, someone else will do another Star Is Born. I think that's sort of the deal now.
He went balls to the wall.
As you do it for every era or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, sure.
That's just a ballsy move, I think, out of the gate as a director.
It totally is. And he pulled it off. But also,
totally
I would
did.
Imagine, you know, he's been around when, like, what did he debut? Wedding Crashers, like 10, 12 years ago. Like, he's somebody who I'm sure has studied his craft. He seems like when he learns something, like, he learns everything.
Yeah.
You know, like
absolutely.
Oh, did I needed to sit back a little bit.
That's all right.
I'll take my mic with me.
Take your mic with you, babes. Do we need to say anything about that? Good movie.
I'm trying to think if I have anything else to say. It was great. Yeah, I thought Lady Gaga and the Dice Man were great together too. That was their chemistry was fantastic.
That sounds like an 80s sitcom, Lady Gaga and the Dice Man.
It was a really it was a very sweet relationship.
Yeah. It was good. All right, Vice we didn't see. That's the last one. So this will be good. Let's just kind of go through these.
I don't need to relive Dick Cheney right now anyways.
Lead actor Christian Bale for Vice didn't see. Brad Cooper. Willem Dafoe at Eternity's Gate didn't see that.
I've never even heard of that.
So for as far as our discussion, Bradley Cooper, Rami Malek, and Viggo Mortensen were all nominated.
Well, I would say
– I would say they're all the favorites over the other two.
I would say Rami Malek because, again, it's like, all right, so – but, you know, if you break down what the attributes of best actor, like not only was his performance wonderful, but he also perfectly embodied this person.
Yeah,
it's like he acted
really nailed
his ass off.
Yeah. And like as far as like I mean, you know, this isn't the mitigating factor for a vote, but as far as like the work that goes into a role, he worked his ass
off. Wait, Mahershala Ali didn't get nommed?
No.
Mahershala Ali?
No.
But Viggo Mortensen?
Yes. Oh, well, he got nominated for supporting, so Viggo was seen as the lead.
Hmm.
They're actually kind of
co-leads. I guess that's true. They were co-leads, but it was more his story because it's like –
But then you split the vote, you know, when you're both in the same category. So maybe it's better they were putting
together
ones. Yeah,
I'm sure they intentionally did not.
I guess he was the lead, but by like a few percentage points.
Well, because you get his backstory. That was the thing.
Yeah, I mean,
thing.
It was
it's
told
like,
through his eyes, I guess, a little bit.
So technically, I guess he's the lead. But I get, too, like if they want to put them, if they don't want to pit them against each other.
Lead actress, Roma, the nanny from Roma.
They do love to pull, you know, like the Anna Paquins, like the unknown.
Uh-huh. I could see that. Glenn Close and the wife, which we didn't see.
She was apparently fantastic in that.
Goggs for Star Is Born.
She's pretty great. I mean, best actress, you know, I don't know. She was a great actress in it.
The way I see it is like maybe not yet.
Well, maybe not yet. There were parts where.
Keep acting.
Yeah. Keep acting. Like, she was great.
I would love to see
her
keep
best.
Acting. Like, and even in, like, in non-music movies, like, she should just keep acting.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy, I have not seen that, but it's supposed to be really good. Can You Ever Forgive Me? And then Olivia Colman for The Favorite. My vote would
Olivia
be
Coleman
for Olivia Colman.
I think so. Yeah.
I would totally cast
Wait, who was the first one?
Roma. Like my heart,
between those two, you know, yeah.
But again, like.
But Olivia Colman was acting.
Yeah, like this is not to diss, Aparicio for Roma, but you're sort of right. Like he picked her because she could just inhabit this role,
yeah.
And
yeah.
be very low key. Like yeah. Olivia Colman was acting her ass off.
She was acting her ass off.
So like, I'm going to give her that
to be that miserable.
Oh my God. She was like on the floor and in bed half the time.
Oh God, she was, and just like she just dripped misery.
Yes.
Like the amount of acting that went into that, and then
God,
she had a
good.
Stroke, and like her face was drippy.
So.
She even
it
like
never
pulled
showed
that
it.
Off.
I
yeah.
wonder if that was like a deleted scene, if they filmed like her having a stroke. Or
I don't.
Something.
He didn't feel particularly obligated to explain things.
Well,
he didn't feel like explaining. So I'm going to go ahead and guess that he was just like, and now her face was dripping.
All right, I'm going to vote for her.
Yeah, I'll vote for her. I totally agree with you on that.
We're in lockstep, babe.
Right?
Fuck.
We've been like working together on stuff a lot, so
yeah,
we're like really,
on
yeah.
House renovation.
We're gonna start looking alike, which should be weird.
Well, maybe we'll land in the middle as a very pretty bearded blonde thing.
Thing.
Supporting actor. Mahershala Ali for
Mahershala.
Green Book. Mahershala. Is that your pronounce
Mahershala.
It? Mahershala.
Yeah, there you go.
Ali.
Ali.
The worst time with names.
I heard him.
Adam Driver for BlacKkKlansman. He was good, but not
best. He was great,
supporting
but
actor.
Adam Driver.
He was totally being Adam Driver.
Yeah.
He might as well like.
Which is great. I love Adam Driver.
Walked out of the end of the last scene and like
yeah.
met Lena Dunham on the street.
Yeah, but he did have to say a lot of really horrible words, and you know,
sure.
like he had to act like
yeah,
he
yeah.
wanted to be in the Klan, which must have
That's
been
true.
A painful.
Sam Elliott for Star is Born. He was good.
It was.
He may get the lifetime nod here.
Well, that was kind of like the Judi Dench. What'd she win for that? She was in it for like the Queen, like 5 minutes or
yeah.
something. Like he was in. He was so underused in that. But his scenes were like that one in the car was pretty powerful. And you know,
no,
and
he was good.
Love the
and
shit.
And he
out
may
of
get the
Sam
lifetime.
Elliott.
Like he may
he
get.
Gets
he may
it
get
because
it just because everyone wants
been.
To hear. I'd like to thank the Academy.
I know. Well, it was funny that scene with them where he was like, "You took my voice." I was like, later I was like, "Oh, he meant literally, like you took my voice," because he did. He was impersonating Sam Elliott basically,
yeah.
but like I didn't.
He was really good in it though.
He was great, but again, it was just such a
pretty
brief
small.
Part.
Richard E. Grant for "Can You Ever Forgive Me?" We need to see that.
Okay.
And then Sam Rockwell for Vice. He played George Bush, I think. I'm going to 100% go with Green Book.
Yeah, Mahershala.
With Ali. He was.
For sure. I loved. He was just like, yeah.
He absolutely is going to win that.
Yeah.
There's
if
no
he
way.
He doesn't, for shame.
Unless Sam Elliott gets it for a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Still,
but still for shame.
For shame. Yeah.
Not for shame, but, you know, I get it.
Yeah. All right.
Supporting actress Amy Adams for Vice. Just anytime
oh,
she's in a
that?
Movie, go ahead and give her one. Yeah, she plays Dick Cheney's wife. Roma, Marina de Tavira.
Was she the mother?
She must have been.
She was great.
She was really good. She was really good.
She was great.
Oh, man. I just felt for her. Like,
well, and it took a while to unfold what was happening, too.
Like,
so it's like you're
yeah.
watching kind of these like behind the scenes whisperings and you have a feeling something's up. But I genuinely thought he was in Canada being a scientist for a while. And, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Well, you had seen it before me, so don't act like I'm
sweet
being
kid.
In debts.
Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk. Haven't seen it, but boy,
I
do we love
her.
Did you see the basketball thing the other day?
Uh-uh.
I need to show you this. She got one of the biggest players in the NBA. He's like 7 feet tall, like leapt into the stands, and it was Regina King. And he like literally like saw who it was and pulled his foot over her and fell on the people behind her. And she's like, ah!
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
And she was tweeting afterwards. She was like, thank you. And he was like, I guess I saved Regina King's life.
That's
really
adorable.
Funny. Anyway.
Ever since Jerry Maguire, which I don't even love that movie all that much. I
yeah,
loved
she's great.
Her. Like, she in my heart from that.
I need to see that. If Beale Street Could Talk is supposed to be great. And I think it's.
Is it fiction?
Yeah. It's a fiction story.
Oh, a fiction story.
Yeah. It's like not a documentary.
Okay,
is that what
yeah,
you mean?
No, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I meant by that.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's got to be about Memphis because it's Beale Street.
I wonder if it was like a biopic or something.
I don't know, actually. You know what? Look.
That's what I meant by is this fiction.
If Beale Street Could Talk. Let's just see. I've just heard a lot of people saying how great it is. It got a pretty limited exposure. Early 1970s Harlem, daughter and wife-to-be recalls passion, respect, and trust that have connected her and her artist fiance, who goes by the nickname Fonny, friends since childhood. All right. I get it. Sounds good.
Great. I'm in.
Looks really good.
Yeah. Love her.
And I think a lot of people said that that should have been wider recognized in the Oscars.
Yeah, because is this the only nomination?
There may be another one, but it was just supposed to be terrific. Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz for The Favorite.
Yeah, both great. So they were both – wait, they were nominated – oh, because Olivia – yeah. I would pick Rachel Weisz over Emma Stone.
I would too. I would like to see her win, actually.
Yeah.
Although I could see them splitting votes and Marina de Tavira winning.
I don't know. I might pick her because she was great.
Or Regina King. She's beloved.
She's pretty beloved.
I think, like,
I can't speak for her performance, though, because, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's great.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Director, Spike, never won. This could be it.
I think that's it. Well, I've got to hear the rest because I literally haven't looked at these.
I don't know this at all. A movie called Cold War. Powell Pawlowski.
They like mixed up and stuck a documentary in there or like a short. He's like the short director. The short They're like, subject. Whoops.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
And everyone's like, who are you?
Cold War. I've literally never heard of this. 1950s Cold
War. If
you
haven't, you know I haven't.
In Poland. Huh. Interesting. It's weird that one gets by me that I've literally never heard of.
Yeah, me neither.
Especially one this big. Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favorite.
All right.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
And then Kieran for Roma and then Adam McKay for Vice.
Well, Kieran, he's been like sweeping the
he's
awards.
The darling.
Yeah.
But he's won already, I think.
He's won like Golden Globes and stuff. Yeah, he's
Did
won
he
a
not
ton.
Win an Oscar?
Oh.
Why do I think he's won an Oscar? I always get him confused with
Yeah. The guy that does the
No, not Benicio del Toro.
Who won last year.
I love that. It's a
we already
full
did
wraparound.
That. Yeah, yeah. We were like, Benicio, we were both like, that doesn't sound right. But you kept talking. I was like, wait a minute. That's not that guy.
No, I don't think he, unless he won, he might have won Best Director for Gravity, actually, which you never saw.
No, that's like 2 hours of stress.
And then
I
Children
mean.
Of Men. But you loved E Tu Mama Tambien.
Loved E Tu Mama Tambien.
Which was, I guess, his
that's
first movie.
A long time ago.
His first.
That was what, like 12, 15 years ago?
Babe, 2001. That was, it's fucking 18 years ago.
Oh my God.
Can you believe that shit? That's where you first developed your crush on those boys.
Oh.
It's an 18-year crush.
Oh my God.
You like the one better than the other though, right?
Yeah, Gail, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. He's a cutie pie.
He has a name. Well, now he's like a full-grown adult. He was back then, too. That made me sound like I was like
I know.
Being gross. I'm not. Now we're the same age.
Hamburger.
We're the same age. Old school. I don't know. It's in the old school voice, though.
boy. They may.
Oh, he's hamburger?
This is.
What?
No, what happened? I'm going to say Kieran for Roma, but I could see a groundswell of support for Spike Lee. Especially with a message and the coastal elite Hollywood libbies.
And it's fucking Spike Lee, man. Like, he's made so many good movies. And it's like, you know, I really think – so it's like you get down to
it. I think people weigh that in, you know. Well, they can't not.
How can you not? Because it's like to just pick a movie and say how good it is really subjective. So I think there have to be other things like either new and out – you know, like new and screaming out of the –
yeah.
Newness. And that's not what I was trying to say. I'm going to set out of the closet. I don't know what I'm saying. Like brand new. Coming out.
Streaming out of the gate?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Whatever. Sure. Or you like been around for a long time, made a lot of great films, overlooked, and this is another really great film.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know. I the criteria must be like make you want to stab your brain out like all of the, if you were to like put it onto a spreadsheet.
But at the end of the day, it's just whoever people want to vote for.
I guess it is. It's all Academy votes, right?
Yeah. It's like I didn't know this, but Nolan and I did a little bit on how they vote. And everyone gets to vote on the best picture, but you only get to vote on your colleagues for the – like directors only get to vote for directors.
Yeah.
And writers only get to vote for writers.
Oh, that's
actors
right.
Actors only vote for actors, which I never knew.
Who'd we meet that was from PricewaterhouseCoopers? I was like, did you work on the Oscars?
This is like just the other day.
Yeah.
Who was that? Oh, it was God, who was it?
I was an attorney. Yeah, I don't. I can't place where, but that was funny. I was like, I actually know that firm because of the Academy Awards.
We'll skip down. We won't do animated feature, although you did see Incredibles 2.
Loved. I'm so like, I don't, we hadn't seen The Incredibles.
No.
And we took Ruby
and
to see that in the theater.
You don't generally see these movies, but.
Well, I don't watch cartoons as a.
Well, you mean animated feature films?
Whatever, cartoons. As a fairly big rule because of Bambi.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And every other cartoon that's tried to tear my heart out with its realness.
Yeah, they all have something awful that happens
almost. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But, like, The Incredibles was a nice, breezy.
Sure.
Passage from that. And I love that family. And Ruby loves them. She's so into them.
She
so now we've gone back.
It.
Like I'm so on board with Incredibles.
I'm Dash.
And with her little funny run. Yeah. So like I'm like,
so
I'm
cute.
Totally on board
You're
with Incredibles.
Although I'm totally gonna wish for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse because that movie was fucking great.
I guess I need to see that because everyone keeps talking about
it's
how
so good.
Awesome it is.
You would like it.
I like Spider-Man. I mean, I like superheroes, man.
Let's skip down to screenplay. Buster Scruggs, Coen Brothers, Black Klansman, Can You Forgive Me, Beale Street, Catholic, Star Is Born. I don't even know. Black Klansman, maybe. It's a good script.
Totally Black Klansman.
Original screenplay, favorite, First Reformed. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. First Reformed, man. Was that this year?
Yeah.
That's the
Ethan
only
Hawke
nomination I got?
Totally got robbed.
Well, he did. And you know what? It was funny because I was
Paul
reading.
Paul Schrader should have gotten a director
yeah,
nomination.
Yeah, they both got robbed because
that movie was
great. And it was
so
funny because I've always been an Ethan Hawke fan since,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He's our age.
Since
Reality
Dead Poets.
Bites. Dead Poets, absolutely.
Or
but
Explorers,
then like
even.
Explorers. But then like Reality Bites, and that's when you know, Heartthrob and like all the way
sure.
through all of the Richard Linklater movies
yeah.
and you know, like whatever people think of him, like I've been a huge fan. But they were I was reading this really like a New Yorker article or something about how basically Ethan Hawke through he's just kept on doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, kind of like wax on, wax off with all the critics and his writing and all this stuff, but how, like, in his late 40s, he's kind of really come into his own.
Yeah.
And there was buzz about this, like, being, I mean, that performance.
He's a really good actor. He always has been.
Well.
I think. I mean, stuff like Reality Bites, he's not.
But
I mean,
even like the Richard Linklater stuff, it's like, again, like, what are your criteria for good actor? It's like, it's a lot of Ethan Hawke being Ethan Hawke, and he's charming
sort of
as shit.
Broody and
he
squinty.
Says a lot of words, exactly, and he's super cute.
He says
and
a lot
yeah,
of words.
He can, like, get a lot of words out, and they're all really, like, meaningful and deep. And, like, you
we
know.
Liked that thing he was just in where he played the, like, burnout old
oh,
musician.
Oh, I loved it. He was great in that.
That was fun.
With Rose Byrne.
Yeah.
That was a great little, like,
I totally
indie.
Enjoyed
yeah,
that. I mean, just for, like, a.
Yeah,
Thursday night movie
yeah.
on the TV.
It was great.
but First Reformed, fuck man, that
oh my
movie was
God,
hardcore.
It was so dark.
Yeah,
and he again, it was like it wasn't Ethan Hawke doing the Ethan Hawke thing.
He was
like,
so restrained.
He, yeah,
like,
Boyhood
boy, it was good.
Boyhood, I'd like.
Yeah,
I'm just numb, like going down Ethan Hawke. But
you're going down on Ethan Hawke?
No, God, going down an Ethan Hawke rabbit hole. I tend to trail off without finishing my.
He seems like
I don't know if you know that about me.
He seems like he might be a little smelly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, don't you think?
What is wrong with you? I hope you cut that because...
No, it's staying in.
Oh, God. Well, then people are going to know how
totally
truly rude you are.
He totally got ripped off.
Yeah.
For Best Actor.
Yeah.
Like, he should have way been in there.
Yeah. And
but
again,
was
it was
so
like,
good.
You know, after a very long... career with, you know, a not a lot of like best actor material. It's like this was a really rich, crazy role. Like, what happened at the end? We still don't know what the fuck happened in that movie. It was so crazy.
Paul Schrader, that guy.
Yeah, he's a sicko, man.
And then Green Book, Roma, and Vice for screenplay.
It's funny. Every time you say Vice, I'm like, Rachel?
I'm going to vote for the favorite there for original screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
That was really, really good.
It was really great.
Because the script was very regal at times, but also unexpected and modern. And
yeah.
like at one point, like one of them could have gone like nanny nanny boo boo, and you
yeah.
would have like bought it.
Yeah, absolutely, it would have been within keeping. Well, and obviously the script had the cheekiness. I'm sure Dude Man brought it out, but it's like the crazy like beating each other up stuff.
Yeah.
During like the weird yeah. like pseudo sex scene, it was like that must have been in the script.
Yeah.
What,
oh, and the scene
what do you
where
call the quality?
Masturbated Zack Attack while on,
oh
on the
yeah,
night.
While she's like
she's
debating what, to, deliberating what to do.
just, like,
yeah,
jerking him off
yeah.
In the
it was like she didn't even know like her hand was attached to her body.
That was so funny.
Yeah, that was hysterical.
I really, really like that movie. I want to watch it again, like straight through, babe.
Yeah, all the way through. All these movies were like 2+ hours.
I know.
Like, where's the trim? 90 minutes.
Where's the trim, everybody? So, Let's just skip. I mean, we don't need to cover all this stuff. Animated, blah, 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 blah.
Nobody cares.
Let's, all right, final category. Original score, Mega Millions. All right.
The only people care that care about those categories are the people who are nominated.
Oh. Oh, ouch.
Sorry, I'm just telling it like it is. And anyone who's like, I really love best sound editing is lying.
A sound editor.
Exactly.
All right, let's cover two more categories because I think they're relevant for us. Although cinematography.
Okay, that's important.
Cold War, which we didn't see. The Favorite. Boy, that movie
was
great.
Oh, it was great. It was beautiful.
Never Look Away.
Crazy shots.
I
don't even know what that is. Okay.
But it's Caleb Deschanel.
Oh, okay.
Zoe's dead, right?
Well, I thought he was a – I didn't know he was a DP.
Yeah, I think he's
a
DP.
Yeah, it totally is.
Roma, that's going to win. And then Maddie LeBatique for Star is Born.
Oh, which I was pretty excited to see him. He was from my music video days.
Yep.
Was like coming up. Was the hot DP.
Yeah,
like,
you worked with him a couple of times.
I didn't work with him, but I knew of him. No, he was like, he was somebody that we could never get.
I think Scotty worked with him.
Probably.
Early
I think
on.
He did, actually. Yeah, I remember he was somebody, you know, like his name came up a lot, but usually most of the directors I worked with had their DPs, but
right.
It's like I knew, you know, he was popping up a lot. So that was pretty exciting to see.
Well, cinematography, Alfonso Cuarón shot his own movie.
Well, so I think he gets it.
Give it to him.
I really did like A Star is Born and some of those, you know, that was some great shooting. And, you know, obviously, music video director, he was a great guy to do all of that big music stuff, but I'm gonna give Cuarón.
And then let's just finish with production design and costumes. Production, Black Panther, First Man, which we didn't see the movie about.
Production
Neil Armstrong.
Design, Black Panther, like enough said.
It was pretty
what
great.
What else you got other
well,
than
the favorite.
Favorite?
That's nominated.
But even Black Panther over that. Well, I realize a lot
actually,
of that was CG.
Like, talk about the most believable production design.
I know, but you know
ever?
What? Production design, is are they nommed?
Yeah.
Grandma? Production design for me, yeah, I mean, that's almost like
Alexander Payne. I mean, it wasn't flashy, but
yeah,
you prefer a
well,
little
well, that
more...
house was super cool.
That house was great.
Yeah.
But that, like, give an award for location scouting.
exactly. Like, I that was a little spare in the... Well, but then, like, the beautiful, the lodge scene and the fire stuff and, you know...
No, it was great.
Effects, but yeah.
And then Mary Poppins Returns, which we haven't seen yet.
Everybody, well...
I want to see it.
A couple... Scott and Jenny loved it, like, madly loved it.
I'm going to say The Favorite. The production design was off the charts in that movie.
The Favorite. Again, the Queen's quarters. Like, that room was just dripping in.
And that hallway that led there, they shot so many scenes in
so
the
many
hallway.
Scenes in the, scenes. So many scenes. It's like
so
the,
many
yes.
Charlie Sheens.
Yes.
There's Charlie. There's Emilio. So many Sheens.
Boo. I mean, that was so bad. It took me a second to even like, and I'm pretty quick on the uptake usually.
And then costume design, Buster Scruggs, which you won't see.
Why will I not see that? Because it's Coens.
It's the Coen brothers and it's a Western.
Do they? Oh, God. That's
and there's
like,
animal abuse.
It's like, I'm see, again, like as a film person.
I love that 2 years in a row people have gotten the Emily.
Yeah. It's super uncool that I'm not a big Coen brothers fan, but I'm just not. Like, I've never really.
I think you're at the point now where you can just like say.
I'm just not.
Admit it and say, hey, listen,
like,
I'm just not.
Like, as a.
You love Fargo, but that's Raising Arizona.
I'm about to give you. I'm about to.
You don't love Fargo?
I like Fargo.
Oh, Jesus.
I know.
We'll
like,
talk about this later.
I'm so sorry that I had to drop this on you in public. It seems safer that way.
And that's your favorite Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't love Coen Brothers.
That's fine.
I like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I like Blood Simple.
We don't need to go down this. Why don't
well, I
we
see
don't
you
finish
like,
on a
judging me
dour
sort of?
Note.
So
I'm not judging you. I'm judging myself.
For not vetting your choice of wife better.
What have I been doing?
Well, I know I just dropped one on you. You know, like I was.
All right.
Buster again, I'm. This is you know. This is my.
Black Panther.
Exposing myself.
Boy, the costumes in Black Panther were
so
great. Good.
Beautiful.
The Favorite, of course, Mary Poppins and Mary Queen of Scots.
But The Favorite was like look at many English movies, and you know
and they always win. Give it to Black Panther.
Black Panther, those costumes were amazing.
Yeah, I'm voting
and
for Black Panther.
Didn't exist. There wasn't a history to, you know, they had to create what Wakanda looked like. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, there were the comic
costume
books for
design.
Sure, but yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Comic
but I don't know how, like,
right,
the
how
most
in
badass
depth.
Costumes. And by the way, it, in Seattle at the MoPop when I went to the Marvel.
Universe,
whatever, exhibit.
Not live.
They had the, oh God. They had the Wakanda like the general's outfits. And they were just so cool to see.
Oh, God, I'm
going to
be that for Halloween. I'm going to have to get in a lot better shape. Be like, well, she's white and she's a little chubby.
But that brass choker. Nah. Just carry a spear. All right. Well, that's it. I mean, I think we've kind of covered all the major categories that we like to cover.
Yeah.
Not the greatest year for movies. I mean, this, you know. Some of these movies, I mean, Vice was supposed to be the worst Best Picture nomination ever. A lot of people are bagging on
Bohemian
Rhapsody.
Those are two words that should never be said together.
I know. It's weird.
But as more people loved Bohemian Rhapsody, it's like with a movie like that is always – there's going to be a whole group of people that just cannot like it on
– Yeah.
Just statistically.
Agreed.
So it's like – but that's so funny. Like you're always, you know, like, well, I'm going to read the ratings for this. I'm like, I give no shit about the ratings. Like if I like the cast or I like the topic.
Right.
I know. I am
– We're different.
We're very different. Opposites attract.
Do you have anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Did you have fun?
This was great.
This was good.
It's really warm in here. I'm surprised that – I feel like I'm warmer than you and that's
– No, not... it's always hot in here.
Yeah. Can't have a fan because of sound.
It sucks. They've been sticking us in the hot box for years.
The hot box.
At the old building. We're in a lactation room, for God's sakes. Biggest downloaded podcast of all time.
Which should not be a hot box, by the way. Like, you know, poor hormonal lactating mothers. It should be like a nice cool breeze if they need it.
Agreed.
So I'm going to have to oppose your former studio.
All right. I guess that's it, everybody. Thanks for listening. And for Emily and I.
Yeah. Thanks for having me back. Always a pleasure.
And it's going to be sooner than later. We're going to do this Alexander Payne thing.
Yeah.
And so look forward to that. More Emily, Up with Emily in 2019.
Up with Emily.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.